It's always a pleasure to be here at the front. It's a little daunting when you're talking about something as important as the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, may you send your Holy Spirit to this place. May you fill us with that Holy Spirit. May we serve you by that power of the Holy Spirit. May we be led by that Holy Spirit, and may we, in fact, listen to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. And my personal prayer is that one person will feel in a very tangible way the infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning. So this is really personal. The Holy Spirit is a personal thing. And so it was so important that in the Apostles' Creed, back in 300 AD, the Apostles put in, one of the lines is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And for any of you linguists out there, I thought I would just test your Hebrew. And we have in French, Saint-Esprit, Latin, Spiritum Sanctum, in Hebrew, Ruah Quados, and in Greek, Pneuma Hagion. There's all kinds of interesting thing, and if you play with language a bit and you know a bit of languages, you'll see that there's all kinds of root words that we get in English and French from some of those Greek and Hebrew words, Latin words. So pneumatic is about air, you know, pneumatic pumps, pneumatic tires, those kinds of things. And ruah actually means a combination of wind, breath, and otherly worldness being, all rolled into one. So you're starting to get a sense that this Holy Spirit thing might be a little bit difficult to unpack. It's going to be complicated. And it's going to be challenging. And as a mere Christian, unless you're a theologian, it's way beyond you. So wrong. So wrong. Because the Holy Spirit, there's an app for that. All right, where am I going with that? An app for the Holy Spirit. If you do not remember anything from this morning except that there's an app for that, good for you, because you've got my message. An app is A-P-P. The Holy Spirit is active. He's active in every one of a believer's life from the day they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. So A is for active. P is for personal. He's not out there. He's in you. He is filling you. He has filled you, and he will refill you. And P, second P, is powerful. Powerful. Active, personal, powerful. We're done. But you might want more. Well, you might not, actually. But if that's all you need, that's what you've got. So I want to sort of unpack a few questions because I have a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of questions. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? What is his role in our lives? Does the Holy Spirit speak to us? And if so, how? And what do we see about the Holy Spirit in the Bible? So those are all some questions that you might have that I have, but I want to start with the P part of app personal. I've had a personal experience with the Holy Spirit. And I'm more of a words guy, an intellectual guy, a thinking guy, and this emotional approach of having someone burst into my life and say, here I am, this is what I'm doing, this is how it's going to affect your life, is not common, is not frequent. And so I have to tell you a story about being personally filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, one would say that was when I gave my life to the Lord. Didn't feel it. I was told that I was filled, but I didn't feel it. So the moment that I felt it was after I had been a Christian for more than 20 years, the first time I actually felt the movement of the Holy Spirit. And guess where it was? It was in that chair where Janet is sitting about 7 years ago, and it was during a worship song that Paul Beaubien was singing. Thinking, how weird is that? I mean, the Holy Spirit was already kind of, you know, how does that work? Well, I was standing up here singing, as badly as I do, and I happened to look up at the cross, the window, and I started to giggle. And it was uncontrollable. It wasn't like really, really loud, like belly laughing, and I didn't roll on the floor or anything, although that could have happened. But it was real. It was tangible, and it lasted for about 2 minutes, maybe a minute. I don't know how long it lasted. It seemed like a long, long time. Maybe it was 20 seconds. Maybe it was 5 seconds. But it was incredibly real. And what was it? What did it feel like? It felt like bubbles. It felt like I was bubbling over. And it was totally, totally unexplainable to me. And I was convinced that yes, indeed, I had just been filled by the Holy Spirit. Did I ask for it? Not really. Was I ready for it? I guess I was. I was looking at the cross. I was singing a worship song. And it was overwhelming. And then it was gone. Finished. Just gone. So the Holy Spirit is real, is personal. And oddly enough, recently I've had a second experience. Come talk to me about it later. It was last weekend. I woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I sort of woke Janet up, and I said, I've got this great idea. And she said, what time is it? Anyway, I believe that was from the Holy Spirit too, but one experience is enough, and I've been a Christian for about 30 years, so every 15 years I get a visitation from the Holy Spirit that I recognize as being from the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that's always troubled me, I don't know if troubled me or I've been curious about it, is what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? So I sort of thought about this as an experiment to kind of demonstrate what I think it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So before we become a Christian, we're just basically a see-through, transparent bottle filled with water stuff. We're just kind of walking around on the earth, and we don't know about the Holy Spirit because we haven't given our life to Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. So what happens is when we recognize that we can't handle our lives, great line from Nicholson. What was his name? You can't handle your life. No, you can't handle the truth. So you can't handle your life. And you come to that point where you say, God, you've got to take my life because I can't do it anymore. I can't do this. And so you have an experience where you want to become a follower of Christ. And at that very moment when you say, I give my life to Christ as my Lord and Savior, you are, according to the Bible, and we're going through these passages, you are filled with the Spirit. And so what happens is, you are filled with the Spirit. And so you start seeing that your life is changing colors. And you sort of think, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. That's pretty much all I need to do. But the interesting thing is that it's a paradox that you can be filled with the Spirit when you give your life to Christ, and that you can still continue to have experiences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm a little shaken here, but can you help me, Danny? Okay. I want you to be filled with the Spirit, but not with the blue stuff. So what happens is you just keep getting filled. And in fact, what happens is your life starts becoming more deeply enriched with the Spirit. And you become more Christ-like. And you become more of who God created you to be because of the continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if that's how it works. That's how it works for me. That's how I understand the process. Because it's not just that you're filled with the Holy Spirit once. It's that you continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's unpack some of this. Am I making this all up? That's a question you should always ask. because I do have a t-shirt that says I make stuff up. And I'm not making this up. If we go to the Bible, can we see this okay? Good. Who is the Holy Spirit? There are some really, really key points that you have to remember about the Holy Spirit. One is that it's part of the triune God. So we always hear Father, Son, Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit. Now, I have a hard time understanding how three can be one and one can be three and all of those kinds of things, but it'll be the first question I ask when I get to heaven. But that's what the Bible says, is it's part of the triune God. And it's clearly a person that's referred to not only in the New Testament, not only in the Gospels when Jesus is talking, but also in the Old Testament. And the evidence shows that it is, the Holy Spirit is, personal, as the app said, comforter, advocate, helper, and friend to every believer. So this is a picture of Pentecost. It's one of the great moments where we see the Holy Spirit actually come and work in a tangible way that's recorded in the Bible, sort of like my looking up at the cross and giggling, except a little bit more dramatic. So I want to take you through just about six key passages which convince me that the Holy Spirit is a person, is active, is powerful. So let's start at the beginning. Kind of fits that it's at the beginning. So Genesis 1, 2. Chapter 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the deep surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that's the Hebrew word, ruah. The breath, the wind, the spirit. And they're not three separate concepts, they're one concept. Right at the beginning. I mean, that's literally two lines into the Bible. Psalm 51. You guys know this. It's a really favorite of mine. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So a lot of the Psalms were written by David. This is long before Jesus comes and says he's going to, you know, bring you the Holy Spirit. The Psalm writer is already talking about the Holy Spirit. And then a favorite of mine as well, Joel, very obscure book. 28 to 28, actually that should be 28 to 29. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Ruach. But it's not just the Holy Spirit in the beginning and throughout the Old Testament. It's the Holy Spirit's activities at what I call the hinge of time. So this is when time was recalibrated. This is when Jesus came to earth, and we started counting the years as 1, 2, 3, 4, and we move forward because Jesus on earth, his death and resurrection changed everything. So let's see what happened with the Holy Spirit at the hinge of time. Luke 1:35, the angels answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So if you think the Holy Spirit is active, you bet he is. Very active. Probably blew Mary's mind a bit how active the Holy Spirit was. And then in Matthew, in the gospel here, Jesus has grown up now, started his ministry. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. And that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son with whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So there is a perfect example of the three-in-one God. We've got the Spirit of God, we've got God the Son, we've got God the Father. Two more passages, actually, the next one, I think I must have been sleeping when I did this. That's John, sorry, not Matthew. So John 14, 16 to 17, this is a very key passage about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is speaking, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." It's interesting he says another advocate, because in fact, Jesus was the first advocate, and the Holy Spirit is going to be another advocate for us according to Jesus. And then finally, in the Gospels, Matthew 28:19, you guys know this one too. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, and this is when Jesus has already risen from the dead. He's just about to go to heaven. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Real, active, personal, and we're going to see powerful. So then we go into the New Testament, the letters, the last bit of the Bible. And this is our assurance that the Holy Spirit is here with us now, with you, with me, here in Pine Grove, in Ottawa, in Canada. And in Acts 1-8, this is again Jesus saying, in response to a question from his apostles, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria to the ends of the earth, even to Ottawa. I added that last bit. Okay. Acts 2:1-4. And this is what the picture was that I showed you. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we've now heard about doves, tongues of fire, winds. The Holy Spirit is a very complex but a very real entity. And finally, a prayer from Paul, the converted apostle, says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the grace, so important I put it twice. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So that's why I believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm hoping that you believe in the Holy Spirit and that you get that app. Active, personal, powerful. Let's see why. Everybody was blown away at Pentecost. Like, the apostles were blown away. The people in the audience were blown away. 3,000 of them that day said, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the risen Christ. And it's always inspired painters as to how incredible that must have been. God keeps his promises. The followers of Jesus had been promised the Holy Spirit, as we saw in Joel, and then by Jesus when he was alive in John, and then again after his resurrection. And the apostles had been consistently praying together since the ascension of Jesus into heaven, but they were freaked out. They thought this was over. They thought it was done. They thought it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. And then the Holy Spirit comes with son et lumière, and everybody starts talking. It was big. So how is that relevant? It's relevant because even though we missed out on the Pentecost, we have a promise from Jesus. And that his promise is that he would send another counselor, another what's called paraclete. And the paraclete is a Greek word that means the person who supports. So another advocate, another comforter, another friend. And we certainly see that that part of this will be private. It will be personal. But part of it will be public. And that public expression where we actually see that first happening is at baptism, at Jesus' baptism. And that's why when we're having a baptism today, we're going to be witnessing part of that public event of the Holy Spirit infilling that person. When I was baptized, I didn't bubble. I didn't get giddy. But the Holy Spirit infilled me. And that's the promise that we have at baptism. So it's an external sign of your reoriented internal world at baptism. And why do we know this to be true? It's because the Apostle Peter in Acts 2:38 said, these are the four steps. One, repent. And the best way to talk about repenting is this. This is not repenting. This is doing what I've been doing. This is repenting. You do a 180 in the direction you were going, and you head back towards Jesus. That's repenting. And as you are baptized, all of your sins are washed away. You're repenting, external sign that your sins are washed away, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what that passage says. I go home and read it. It's exactly that. And not only that, it says, this promise is for you and for your children. So I am delighted, encouraged, always excited by having a baptism at Pine Grove. Really amazing time to see you guys doing that external sign of your faith in Jesus Christ, the repentance, the idea that the Holy Spirit is going to be your director. Then what? Okay, tomorrow comes. And is the Holy Spirit still around? Is that app still work? And the answer is absolutely, because this is what's next. It's a friend thing. And you know, sometimes you don't know that your friends are there for you. They just are. And the Holy Spirit starts really at the very, very basic level as a relationship and as a friendship and a being there-ness that is perhaps difficult for you to recognize, but it's a promise. And so we know that the Holy Spirit is there as a friend thing. But it's also as a real friend keeps a real friend from doing stupid things thing. Okay. So the Holy Spirit has this power of being a convictor. And the Holy Spirit, somebody I was reading said, it's maybe like going on your first date with your mom and dad in the car. That's a little harsh, I think. But you kind of get the point, is that the Holy Spirit says, really, Don, do you really think that's a good idea? In the same way that your friends say, you know, do you think hanging a car from a bridge is a good idea? That's what certain students do, and you know, I mean, is that a good idea? So your friend is trying to say to you, good friends don't let good friends do stupid things. And that's a bit of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The other thing is, it's I know who's got my back thing. So not only is it a friend that I am going to hang around with, but it's a person who that if I get into a tight spot, I know somebody who can help me. It's a guide, a prompter, an influencer, and somebody who's going to help me when I'm in that particular time, space crunch. But it's also a I need help thing. Do you know when you gave your life to Christ and you said, I can't do it anymore? It's funny, after you're a Christian for a while, at least this happened to me, is you forget that and you think, I can do this again. Yeah, God's great. I'll go to Sunday, go to church and all that. But, you know, God, you take the big stuff. I'll cover the rest. And quite honestly, it never goes well. So the Holy Spirit is there, is accessible, and you can call on the Holy Spirit to come into your life and say, you know what, Don? It's time for me to take the wheel. I'm happy to do this. And you just have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you got this. It's also, and this is a very interesting one, it's a I need to know God and eternity better thing. If you are reading the Bible and the Bible is dry, or if you have a prayer life and your prayer life is empty, call on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person in the Godhead who directly access how you learn about God. And you have to ask, and as soon as you do, you're going to have some of these amazing breakthrough experiences. And you might just think you've had a flash of wisdom. Good, good on you. You go with that. But I'm convinced that that's an answer to prayer and it's the Holy Spirit. And then finally, it's really a love thing. God loves us. And sometimes God seems way, way, way out there. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is way, way in here. And so when you're thinking God doesn't love you, it's actually Satan talking to you. And I've got a couple of his classic lines here. You're a loser. You're hopeless. You'll never make it. Ever heard those? the Holy Spirit says, you know what? We're in this together. I'm your advocate. I'm going to give you a little heaven here on earth. No one can say it more powerfully than the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray to you, and often it seems that you're far away. So let us call into our lives the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may come in, into our person, into our daily lives, into our friendships, into our houses, into our jobs, into our school, that you will give us a real sense of what it means to be children of God. Thank you for your powerful, personal, and active involvement. The Holy Spirit lives.